Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're on a pretty specialized mission. We're going to try and map out the metaphysical structure of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're stripping away all the, you know, the standard history.
We really are. And the first thing you need to know, the most startling piece of this, is that Thanksgiving is currently led by a cursed entity.
A turkey named Tom.
A turkey named Tom, whose curse is being actively maintained by a powerful demon who lives in hell.
That's the core of it right there. It's why Thanksgiving isn't just a day off. It's this high-stakes, 12-day spiritual maneuver.
And the timing is key.
The timing is everything. Today, November 27th, is a critical pivot point. It officially marks the end of the supernatural Halloween season.
I found that detail so fascinating. You always think Christmas starts after Thanksgiving, but the supernatural calendar is just way more complex.
Oh, absolutely.
So you have to take down your skeletons and cobwebs by Thanksgiving Day. The sources say if you don't, you risk inviting this specter of dark luck.
I mean, it sounds dramatic, but it's really about energy synchronization.
Okay, what does that mean?
Thanksgiving is defined as this critical transitional bridge. The spirit of the season has to shift. It has to go from the dark and light energies of Halloween to the, you know, overwhelming goodwill you need for Christmas.
So if your decorations are still up, your personal energy is still stuck on Halloween.
You're spiritually out of sync with the collective, yes.
And that makes it harder for the collective goodwill of Thanksgiving to even form in the first place. That makes sense.
Exactly. And you have to remember, the greater Christmas season actually began quietly on November 3rd.
Right, to start that process early.
To start melding the energies. So Thanksgiving is this pressurized, narrow window where the rest of that Halloween power is purified and then transferred.
So how narrow are we talking? It's a very specific 12-day period, right?
Precisely. The official Thanksgiving season kicks off the Friday before Thanksgiving Day, and it ends the following Tuesday, Giving Tuesday.
Just a short, powerful burst.
Designed to complete that shift from the Halloween balance into the full Christmas spirit.
Okay, let's talk about the hard rules of that transition.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just about decor. There's a strict cutoff on, well, on Halloween candy.
Today is the last call for those little chocolate bars. The last day to eat or give away trick-or-treat candy is Thanksgiving Day.
And that's symbolic.
It's a symbolic consumption of the last bits of Halloween energy. The palate, so to speak, has to fully shift toward the purity of Christmas.
So we get the deadline. But what is Thanksgiving actually generating? What is this energy we're talking about?
It's the Thanksgiving spirit. And just like with other big holidays in this supernatural structure, the spirit is the collective consciousness of everyone celebrating.
All that gratitude and joy.
All of it. All that intention channeled through the holiday's leader.
And it's not just a passive feeling.
Oh, not at all. The Thanksgiving spirit is vitalized. It's actively used to battle forces of darkness. It creates this temporary firewall of peace and goodwill.
Which is why it's such a crucial refueling stop.
It's essential. The energy that's generated feeds directly into the greater enchanted spirit of Christmas. It provides the foundation of power for the whole Christmas season.
Okay, so now we have to get to the origin story, because it is nothing like pilgrims and corn. The sources say the 1621 event was about something much bigger than a meal.
What's really fascinating here is the strategic purpose. The first Thanksgiving, it wasn't just a political or social thing. It was about harmonizing two oppositional forces.
The pilgrims and the Native Americans.
Right, and getting them to band together to tackle the paranormal perplexities of the New World.
They were forming a spiritual alliance.
Against very real, unseen threats that were plaguing the continent at the time.
And the initial leader of this new alliance was Santa Claus.
He was, until he met the subject of the curse we mentioned, a wild turkey he named Tom.
And what happened?
Once Santa brought Tom into the magical confines of North Pole City, the turkey suddenly gained the ability to speak intelligently, and he revealed this terrible truth.
This is where it gets really dark, and we should probably slow down here, because this curse is the structural weakness of the entire holiday.
It really is.
Tom the turkey was a fusion, two souls, a male pilgrim and a female Native American.
Their minds had been just violently melded together into a single animal body by a wicked wizard, a very powerful one.
And the wizard was furious, not just because he was opposed to the marrying, but he was secretly against Thanksgiving's whole spiritual mission.
So it wasn't just spite, it was targeted. It was an act of spiritual sabotage against this brand new holiday. He gave them the ultimate gift of togetherness in the most twisted way possible.
It's a chilling use of dark magic. Now, the big question is, why can't Santa Claus just break the spell? He's Santa Claus.
That's the vulnerability, isn't it? The source material is very clear about this. Curses that come from powerful, stubborn human will are uniquely potent.
So this wizard's will was that strong?
Incredibly. And this specific curse is bound to the wizard's immortal dark soul, which now resides in hell as a powerful demon. So as long as that demon exists and maintains his opposition, the curse holds. Santa simply can't interfere with a demon's eternal binding.
So there's a demon in the underworld who is basically the spiritual maintenance worker keeping Thanksgiving's leader trapped. That just raises the stakes so much.
It really does. But Tom does get a brief reprieve. A small one.
Right. It's similar to the Where Hair Easter Bunny reference in the sources.
Another cursed, benevolent leader. Yes. Tom gets to briefly revert to his human form, or rather, their human forms as a married couple.
But only for 24 hours.
And only on Christmas Day. The pure energy of the Christmas spirit is so overwhelming that it temporarily overrides that demonic bond. It lets their soul separate.
A brief moment of freedom.
Before they're forced back into the form of Tom the Turkey.
So you have a leader, Tom, who is fundamentally bound by darkness. How does this system generate enough clean energy to fuel Christmas without being contaminated by that curse?
That's why the leadership is so complex. He can't operate alone. He's the first part of what's called the Thanksgiving Triad.
But they don't have a mystical artifact, like the Christmas crystal.
No, so they have to rely on this three-pronged approach to leadership.
Okay, so let's define the triad. Tom is the cursed leader, the channel, but he needs a stabilizer.
And that stabilizer is the annual pardon turkey. This bird is chosen, it's granted immortal sentience and intelligent speech, and its mind becomes the conscious, uncorrupted form of the Thanksgiving spirit.
It's like a pure spiritual battery.
It is. It's the buffer, the pure consciousness that Tom uses to safely channel all that collective energy.
Okay, so Tom is the guide, the pardoned turkey is the power source. Who's the third member?
Santa Claus. He steps back in to help guide the channeling process to make sure the energy transfer is clean and successful.
And they sometimes get back up.
When things get really tough, yeah. Halloween Queen Shala sometimes lends her power to help stabilize the whole operation. It's a coalition.
Okay, so let's talk about the fuel source for all this, the ritual. Mm-hmm. The source is called the eating of turkey, a supernatural sacrifice.
This is where it gets really visceral. The sacrifices, which are the turkeys we consume, provide that much needed spiritual fuel.
That's what's used to fight the darkness.
That's what ensures the success of Christmas and, you know, peace on earth. It literally fuels the entire mechanism.
That sounds incredibly dark, but the sources are very specific in telling us we should feel no guilt.
The assurance comes from the afterlife mechanics defined in the lore.
Okay.
The fallen turkeys, because they've participated in this sacrifice for the greater good, they are transferred instantly to Goddess Gaia Mother Earth's paradise plane.
Which is?
A very high level afterlife. It's for living things, totally out of phase with our reality. Their sacrifice is purposeful, and they are compensated with a blissful existence.
So it turns the dinner plate into a battleground. And speaking of which, the holiday has its own direct threats. Let's talk about the Gobbler Ghoul. The Gobbler Ghoul is a dark, supernatural entity unique to Thanksgiving. There are these ravenous, cannibalistic turkey ghouls.
Where'd they come from? It's a grim origin. They were born from a black, magic-practicing farmer who just horrifically mistreated his flock. He infused their suffering with dark energy.
And what do they actually do?
They're driven to cannibalize their own kind, but specifically the sacrificial turkey, the centerpiece. They can phase into dining rooms, appearing like shadows, and they try to consume the turkey before the humans can.
And if they do that, it corrupts the spiritual fuel.
It contaminates it. The energy transfer to Christmas is diminished, yes.
How did the triad defend against that?
Well, there are specialized counter entities, wards placed on homes, but the sources say the simplest defense is actually just the human collective consciousness itself. A big, joyous family gathering creates an energy barrier these ghouls find hard to pierce.
They're rare, but a constant threat.
It's lurking on the perimeter, exactly.
And there's also a human element of opposition. The Thanksgiving Guild.
Right. This is a nefarious, clandestine organization born directly from the failed harmonizing of the first Thanksgiving. They work against the holiday's goals. They try to disrupt that energy flow.
It just shows that those two oppositional forces never really fully reconciled.
Not on a foundational level, no.
Okay, so let's track the movements of the most famous participant in all of this, Santa Claus. His most public appearance is at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Officially, because of the Supernatural Secrecy Pact, the Santa on that float is just a stand-in, a mortal representative.
That's the official story.
That's the official line. But the sources do hint that he might use a high-level glamour.
An illusion.
A specific kind of illusion magic, yeah, that would let him ride the float incognito while millions of people are watching. But either way, his main focus is not the parade.
So what's his real itinerary?
It's fascinating. While those floats are rolling by, Santa is running a high-level supernatural summit. It's in a secret room at Macy's. He's meeting with key members of the paranormal world.
You're telling me that while we're watching giant balloons, Santa is in a back room at a department store running an intelligence briefing about the Anti-Clause. That's wild.
Absolutely. The agenda is intense. They're going over his Christmas operational plans, the general state of the supernatural world, and most critically, threats from the forces of darkness.
Specifically the Anti-Clause.
Specifically the Anti-Clause, his dark counterpart, who is always trying to corrupt the spiritual fabric of the world.
That's a lot of pressure right before his big season.
Yeah.
So after this meeting, does he just rush back to the North Pole?
No, and this is the most charming detail. The sources say he loves to just mill about New York City incognito. He enjoys the rest of the day with Mrs. Claus and their children, Nick and Mary.
Does he ever drop the disguise?
He's a master of incognito work, but yes, he is sometimes known to pose as a regular mall Santa for a few hours.
Why?
It's vital intelligence gathering. He gets to hear firsthand what children, what the general public truly want and need. It helps him gauge the overall morale and spiritual health of the human world.
That is some truly dedicated field research.
It is the ultimate reconnaissance mission.
So let's try to synthesize all this for you. We started this deep dive looking at Thanksgiving as a simple day of gratitude. And we're leaving with the knowledge that it is an incredibly complex, spiritually intense 12-day maneuver.
It really is.
It's less about history and more about maintaining this very sophisticated metaphysical firewall.
A firewall fueled by a sacrificial ritual and led by a cursed entity whose bind is held by a demon.
It's just staggering.
Thanksgiving is an essential moment of energy consolidation. It ensures that our collective consciousness is purified, refined, and successfully transferred to build the foundation for Christmas. It's a cosmological battle plan disguised as dinner.
Indeed. And for our final provocative thought for you to consider, think about the Supernatural Secrecy Pact. Think about the Thanksgiving Triads operations. How do these widespread, organized holiday structures, with their own clandestine guilds and high-level briefings, how do they manage to operate completely out of phase with our reality?
And does knowing all of this, does it change how you view the ordinary act of just sitting down to dinner with your family this year?
Because the turkey on that table, the one providing that essential spiritual fuel.
It isn't just a meal. It's the cornerstone of the world's spiritual defense system.
Something to ponder as you reach for the carving knife. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.